You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankwitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, August 11th.
After a wave of job reductions in June, Providence, Oregon says it will lay off 128 more caregivers across the state. The layoffs were announced on Thursday by Providence, Oregon Chief Executive Jennifer Burrows. But Providence Seaside Hospital will be spared from this round of cuts. The hospital's senior communication manager, Mike Antrim, told The Astorian that there will be no layoffs locally at Providence Seaside for now. According to Burrows, some of the coming changes will be related to consolidating patient services where there is high volume and high expertise. Providence, Oregon expects to have additional announcements later in the year. 2 years ago, state analysts said that half of Oregon's 36 counties lacked sufficient capacity to care for preschool children aged 3 to 5. Now that number has been improved to just 1 in 4 counties. That's according to a new report published last month by researchers at Oregon State University. But the findings also show little improvement in access over the past 2 years when it comes to infant and toddler care. The state has requested these snapshots of Oregon's child care system every 2 years since 2018. Lead author of the new report, Megan Pratt, says it shows there is more child care available than there has been in the recent past. And researchers say public investments in early education programs like Head Start for low-income families, kindergartners, and pregnant women have made significant inroads in stemming the state's historic shortage of childcare. Last month, the Trump administration announced rules that would ban access to programs like Head Start for immigrants without permanent legal status. Now, childcare advocates and state officials say the restrictions would require their programs to close for all children and families until a new mechanism to collect information about immigration status is developed. These stories come to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com.
A bill passed in Oregon's recent legislative session take steps to make it easier to build so-called middle housing, things like duplexes, triplexes, townhouses, and cottage clusters. The goal of House Bill 2138 is to provide more options for housing. Tomorrow, the Manzanita City Council will hold an afternoon work session on middle housing. Mayor Catherine Stock hopes to reach enough of a consensus on recommended optional changes to the city's zoning code related to the bill, so that staff can craft an ordinance for public consideration. Last week, around 50 people attended a City Hall forum to express views on proposed zoning amendments. Several common concerns emerged, including how middle housing development could affect the number of short-term rentals. Some people questioned why Manzanita is considering zoning changes beyond the state's requirements. This story comes to us through information provided by Manzanita Today.
The U.S. Department of Justice released a list last week of cities, counties, and states it plans to possibly sue because of immigration sanctuary policies. Oregon and Washington both made that list. OPB's Amelia Templeton has more.
Both states prohibit police and county sheriffs from participating in immigration raids, holding people for ICE, or sharing information with ICE, with some exceptions. The U.S. Department of Justice has already sued New York, Colorado, and Illinois. It argues sanctuary laws jeopardize public safety. State Attorney General Dan Rayfield says Oregon's sanctuary law has been on the books since 1987 and survived legal challenges during President Trump's first term. Washington AG Nick Brown said the state's sanctuary law makes Washington safer by encouraging people to trust local police. Texas is the only state that keeps data on the legal status of people arrested for crimes. Academics who study that data have found undocumented immigrants are less likely to commit crimes than other groups. In Portland, I'm Amelia Templeton.
Many people expect to live their golden years in leisure after decades of hard work. But two Marysville residents in Washington state recently found themselves worrying about being able to buy food. they're among the hundreds of thousands of Washington residents who rely on SNAP, the Federal Food Assistance Program. Now that Congress has cut funding for the program, they're anxiously waiting for what happens next. KUOW's Ruby DeLuna reports.
Every other Wednesday, a truck from the Marysville Food Bank comes to the Vintage, an apartment building for seniors. As volunteers stack bags of vegetables, fruit, and other pantry staples in the dining room, more than a dozen residents wait in line with their grocery bags. One of them is 75-year-old Gail Nigro.
I'll make some lunch when I finally get back upstairs.
The staples she gets from the food bank helps stretch the assistance she receives through SNAP, which is $49 a month. Nigro says that helps her buy vegetables to make her favorite green salad.
Fresh, everything is expensive. And at our age, we try to watch sodium levels. We try to watch sugar levels, those kinds of things.
Before retirement, Nigro was in real estate, helping first-time home buyers. Today, she lives on Social Security, just over $1,600 a month, and a monthly pension of $541. Her income, she says, barely covers rent, utilities, and her car insurance. If her SNAP dollars are cut, she'll have to make sacrifices.
I can fill a gap by selling my car, which takes away a lot of independence. It takes a lot of my ability to live my life the way I like to live it.
Her neighbor, Joe Beck, who's 72, is in a similar situation. He worked 28 years in state government as an analyst for various agencies. Beck's SNAP assistance is $66 a month. He says the benefits provide not only nourishment, it lets him cook, which he loves to do.
I make a mean spaghetti. I really do. And the best thing about that, there are leftovers, and that saves me money.
Beck has peripheral artery disease, which has already cost him his left leg. He's at risk of losing the other. His medication to control the disease is expensive and cuts into his food budget. SNAP was created during the Great Depression to help families buy food. Benefits are largely based on income. Critics have called for overhauling the system, citing fraud and abuse. Beck says he understands the need for accountability, but the recent cuts, he says, felt like a slap in the face for people like him.
Food should not be a political issue. It just shouldn't be.
Like Nigro, the bulk of his Social Security check goes to rent. Food prices are already high. He's already dipped into his savings. According to the nonpartisan group Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, more than 800,000 Washington residents receive SNAP benefits. Most recipients are families with children, but more than 38% are people like Joe Beck and Gail Nigro, older adults, or are disabled. Beck says he's worried about many of his neighbors.
These folks have worked all their life. They've worked hard, okay? They didn't expect to be in the position that they're in now.
Beck and Nigro say the benefits are not a luxury. They're essential to their survival. In Marysville, I'm Ruby DeLuna reporting.
The state DSHS, which administers SNAP benefits, says it is still waiting for federal guidance on implementing changes. In an email, the department says it will share information with clients as soon as it's available. Communities on the coast are outside of the heat advisory issued by the National Weather Service this week, but it's still going to be warm. Today, sunny with highs near 80, tonight clear with lows near 60. Tomorrow, sunny with highs in the mid to high 70s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with lows in the high 50s. As you move east toward Clatskanie in Columbia County, communities are under a heat advisory through Tuesday night. Highs today are expected to reach the low 90s, with lows tonight only dropping to about 70. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.